You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, on today's episode, my guest, Brad Lepper, and I get back to the basics of growth and how everything that you do to create success within your salon all stems from one thing, your team. More specifically, Brad breaks down what a team is and isn't, and how we should be creating a solid framework within our creativity. This has powered his team's award-winning successes. Now, in addition to his team, we're touching on selling versus educating and how to intertwine your goals with your team's dreams. Be ready to take some notes as Brad's insights into the way he runs his business is not an industry norm, and I think we could all take something inspirational away from this chat. Let's jump straight into it. Brad, welcome. Thank you for joining me at the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Super pleased to have you.
Great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
A fellow Kiwi.
Yeah, it's the one in Auckland City. It's nice.
So we know where you are in the world. Tell us a little bit about your journey thus far that's got you to where you are today.
I started hairdressing a little bit later in life. So I did building mechanics before hairdressing. So sort of got a foundation on something completely different. But hairdressing was a passion of mine since I was about 13. But it took me a long time to sort of get my feet into it. And then I sort of started out South Auckland, a little place called Mark & Co. And it was a very old, established, but our students trained salon. So it was really great foundations for me to sort of start my hairdressing career. And I was there for about 5 years and then moved to Bada, where I was sort of managing there for 3 years. And I was there for about 7 years. And then I decided, you know what, I need to sort of do my own thing. And I jumped into owning my own salon called French Roller Studio. And that was made for creative people to come in and just express themselves as individual artists. So this works in quite nicely. So that's how we started.
I see. Okay. I didn't realize checkered journey.
It's a checkered journey. Yeah, exactly. But I think grounding wise, it sort of gave me a lot of different grounding about different environments that I sort of grew up in, which was great.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a little bit interested to hear, or for you to tell us a little bit about your journey into, being on the world platform, I guess, winning awards and being an artistic director. Tell us a little bit about that part of your life journey.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it sort of started like I was at Barter, and you know, it's a great salon. I was working there for a long time, as I was saying, and I just really wanted to put myself out there. So I did every single course I could think of. So cutting courses, coloring courses, and just kept on upskilling myself through that platform. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to sort of get into the finals through Wellington Vision, I think the third year in being at Varda. And that sort of just broadcasted me sort of, and that passion for, push myself creatively and really sort of trying to refine my personal eye. And just sort of trying to find and develop my own brand as well within that brand. So that was a big thing for me. So that progressed from there, and I just started doing education for Sebastian. They approached me and asked me to jump on their team. And I was doing that for about 7 years, I think, 6 or 7 years. And there was an opportunity to sort of go audition for a global artist role for Sebastian Professional. And it was a 5-day induction. So we had like bringing in different hairstyles, doing presentations. It was pretty intense. And we had a panel of 5 people. And then after your 5 days, I went home. And 2 weeks later, they gave me the call and said, you've got it. So out of 15 people that applied, they pulled back to 13 globally. And that's pretty much how it started.
And so how much of your life is taken up with doing that side of, like, what's the balance of hands-on hair, business, and, you know, the artistic side of things?
I think, you know what, I don't think there's actually a time you put aside. You just find every time you've got to put somewhere. So I'm on the floor. Yeah, you know what it's like. I'm on the floor 5 days a week. I've got a jam clientele. I've just like closed my books for that reason because it's been pretty hard to manage them. And then the team here, I sort of try to do as much training with them as possible. And then the global stuff, that's 3 to 4 times a year. So we've got like Berlin, Barcelona, LA. There's lots of places around the world we sort of shoot to and do education. And I just got back from India about a month and a half ago. So it was a pretty intense education platform over there as well.
Wow, I find that really interesting. What's it like to educate in such a different culture?
I mean, I think especially that sort of part of Asia, they're very limited in education. Yeah. So, and they even say that they need more internationals to come over and actually help them out. They're a growing population. There's a massive divide of poverty and expense as well. So you can see there's two massive areas that need to be helped out. But it's a great platform for, I think, most artists to go over there and start having that ground root sort of foundation of education and help them back out again. So it's really nice.
Mm. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So what would you say would be one of your successes that you're most proud of to date?
You know what, I think like my team is my like number one thing here at French Revolver. So when they won New Zealand Team of the Year last year for industry, I was like, that was probably the most exciting thing I've ever had to sort of be a part of.
Yeah, nice.
Like when you see your team achieving, it's more than what you can achieve. And I know it sort of grows them as individual stylists and they have their own dreams, their own wants, their own abilities they can work on, which is really fun.
I think that's such a, it's actually such a huge success, and it's really nice that that's at the top of your sort of pile of successes, because it really is managing, growing, let alone an award-winning team is, you know, it's one of the challenges of the industry is to manage other humans, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I see it not as managing, but like facilitating, in a sense. So you're, again, you've got to really see what they want to achieve and put your thought patterns aside. I mean, everything's changing so quickly, but it's pretty, I don't know, prehistoric for us to think that they have to do the same as what we did. And I think we need to sort of start thinking about the progression of the industry and how we can sort of get it stronger again. It's the biggest thing.
Yeah. I think that's a fair comment to project our experiences onto their future experiences. I think that's
exactly.
Fair comment. Yeah. So that's a hard line to, I'm interested in your opinion. It's a hard line to find, I loved what you said, put your own sort of opinions and thoughts aside and put what they need and want forward. How do we find that fine line between delivering what they want so they can grow and they can stay? Because ultimately it's about retention, right? If they're good, and still directing a brand culture or, you know, still moving towards the dream that you have or the vision that you have as the visionary of the business?
Yeah, I think, again, like I sort of see a business in a little bit different way too. Like, I mean, these guys are going to be here for a little while and you're going to make sure they've got everything they've got in their own power, that their brand's strong to leave here and create another brand. So instead of sort of trying to, I don't know, lock our hairdressers down, we're sort of going, right, when do you guys want to open your own salon? When you want to go overseas, what's your story that you want to actually achieve in your life, not what you want to do here? And then then we flip it and we go, okay, what can we do to help you achieve that goal? So it's a better way of thinking about it instead of going, right, your KPIs this month are, or your, you know, product sales this week is, it should be about, okay, what do you need to learn to educate your clientele? So when you move on, you've got that foundation to build a business, if that makes sense.
So. Yeah, I actually really love that because, you know, it's like it's recognizing that everyone's here for a period.
Yes, it's a period of their life.
You're not here to hold on to them and lock them down for life.
No, definitely not. No, and I think the thing too, like, you know, it's an interesting concept because we think that we have to have everyone exactly the same in the salon, which is never going to happen. So some people are stronger at cutting, some people are stronger at colouring, some people are amazing at balayage. And I think, you know, honing in those skills, like you've got salons over there that, well, and globally that are just focused on one skill. You've got to get them more than one skill, but you've got to really kind of endorse what they can do very well. So that's a big thing too.
Yeah, and letting each person shine for their own reason.
Yeah, and I think, like I always say, like tattoo studios are a great example. When you walk into a tattoo studio, and I've got a lot of tattoos, you go to an artist because you like their work. And you normally go to a hairdresser because you like the work, and that's pretty much how it works. And if you start thinking of it that way, instead of trying to dumb down our industry, thinking that we all have to create the same look, that's the problem. It's not going to grow that way. It's going to sort of, it's going to get it watered down. You end up getting so many lobs and balayages that look all the same. But there's no individuality and there's no creativity in that way either.
For sure. So that brings an interesting question to my mind around, you know, if we're embracing individuality and creativity as artists in our team, what about the other side of the business, which is actually sort of the sales focus?
Yeah.
How do you manage that? How do you encourage that?
That's a good one. I say to the guys here, you're not selling, you're educating. So that's your first thing you've got to sort of swap out of your head. And we all have products. We use products every day on people's hair. And we have products that we love to use. So if you're not educating your client why you're using that product, then you're not allowing that client to understand how good their hair can be. So that's probably the best first step for a stylist to think about. And you're really sort of letting your client down if you don't educate them. Because they'll walk into another salon, they'll go, oh, what was that product you used in my hair? And if you haven't got not a sales pitch, but an education platform to tell them how to use it and why you use it, then you're letting you and the client down. It's pretty straightforward.
For sure.
Yeah, and I think sales comes that way. Like, people trust you and they come to you and you cut their hair, you color their hair. And that's a lot more invasive or, you know, really personal than a product on the shelf. So if you can't really educate them on the product, then you're not connecting with your client. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, you do make it sound very straightforward, I have to say.
Yeah.
You can't argue with that.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. That's how it works. But, I mean, the guys here do very well in retail. I mean, and it's a thing that they understand, it helps them out as well. They're sort of getting the hair coming back in better condition. They're actually advancing their clientele a bit better as well because they can do the hair at home. And it's all these sort of aspects you can sort of think about.
So this is obviously a strong culture within your business to upsell, not for upselling sake, but for educational sake and selling of home hair care.
Yeah.
How do you infuse that culture into your team? Like, what does that look like? Do you meet regularly? What does the actual education story look like for your team?
So what we do, I mean, it's a funny thing. Like, we're a wellness salon, but, you know, if one of our clients, or one of our staff even says, look, I would say go to Kerastase, I'd rather them say that than try to sort of push product out the door. Because again, you're sort of getting that foundation and trust from your client. Mm-hmm. And the other side is you're talking about how do we put that in there. I'm just like straight up with them. I say, like, what products do you like? And if you like those products, we'll order more of those products. What products don't you like? We'll stop ordering those ones. So it's giving the power to the actual stylist. So they've got every single, I don't know, wet tool they can use to then educate their client better, and that's how it comes down to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. There's definitely a theme around empowering your team, you know, to be the best that they can. But they're you're almost leading from behind, pushing.
Definitely.
Them.
Yeah. I mean, it's really. I mean, because they'll come up with some great ideas. I'm like, hey, that's an awesome idea. How can we make that happen? And I think as soon as you give power to people to actually have ownership, it's a lot better than you trying to push them into a corner and they don't feel like it's theirs. So you want to make the salon, the environment, a place where they feel comfortable to say, you know what, Brad, I've been thinking we should do this. And you go, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. And I think if it doesn't work, I mean, we're not a massive company. We can change it. So it's not being too scared to fail. But I mean, I think failure is a funny word. I always sort of say, it's not failing, it's just wrong timing. Because that idea you've got now could be great in 6 months, and this time it just didn't stick. So it's really sort of trying to push past that thought pattern.
I love that. That's actually really cool because it gives the freedom to just try.
It is, yeah. I think humans are great for that. Yeah, we're a great nation of trying. And I think if we lose that, then we lose that sort of that go get it, number eight wire sort of mentality. So we've got to keep that going.
It's certainly not something that, in my generation anyway, that we learned at school.
No, definitely not.
It was either right or it was wrong.
Yeah. And I think in life, there's no such thing. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, I've got kids, my kids are at school now, and I listen to what they're learning, and I'm like, when you get into the real world, it's not like that. You know, you'll go to Google, you'll find out what the answer is, and you'll educate yourself, you know, and that's how it works. And I think personally, we've got to sort of get our team thinking like that too, like it's all right to fail. It's all right to try again. So that's how it works.
Yeah, that's right. I actually have to say, as a team member, when I worked for Timely Salon Software, I spent 2 years working with them, and I actually learned that at my time there, that it was okay to say, oh, look, I tried that and it didn't work, and that was almost celebrated. And I have to say, I wasn't as good at that as a salon owner. I think I was, but not as good as I actually learned to be afterwards. It's such a great skill. So I think, if you can do that in your business, then, you know, the battle's half won.
Yeah. And I think, if you walk in, I never said this business is my business either. I don't think it's everyone that walks in is the business. So, there's no hierarchy here. It's not like I'm sort of telling what to do or how to do stuff, which I think, again, is a way to sort of keep it grounded where the door's always open. If they've always got a question, I'm always going to answer it. And I think it's a better way of thinking about it too.
Is this kind of culture something that you've always had or grew up as having, or is this something that you've learned in your business journey?
I think it's a learn. I mean, I never wanted to be Brad Leppard, the owner of French Rubber Studio, or a global artist, or whatever you want to sort of class it as. I just wanted to do hair, and you know, I cut hair for a living. That's pretty much what I do. And I love love this stuff's job that I do, and I want people around me to love what they do as well. So I think as soon as I sort of turn around and say, look, guys, I own this business, you do what I say, I've lost why I've actually opened the business, in a sense, right? So that's how it works, yeah.
Nice. I think that's inspirational, actually.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Tell us just a little bit, sort of, and take us inside your business. What does it look like in terms of size of your team, the different roles within your team? How does it operate?
So we've got 8 staff now. We've got 5 starters and myself, so it's 6, and then we've got 2 support team as well. And so I think the thing is that we all sort of, it's a team environment. Yep. We'll jump in if we need help. Everyone cleans, which is a good thing too. There's no like junior mentality. I think that's the thing that's sort of hard for a lot of people to sort of grasp, because we have such a hierarchy thought pattern in hairdressing, where I cut hair, I walk out the back, I sit down and I look at my phone and eat my lunch, where I never really wanted that environment in here, because I clean toilets, I sweep floors, I do people's colours, and I wash off my own colours as well. So I think going back to that sort of thought pattern, it's sort of trying to think of the whole business as a team and not as an individual reward, in a sense. It's a nicer thing to walk out of the door thinking, geez, I helped Jenny out with that, or I helped Josh out with this. Or it's a nicer way to sort of see these guys achieve and the team to grow as one. Yes. Then have individual stars in there that are getting too much of a big head, I suppose, if that's a good way to put it, and not actually seeing the running of a business, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know where that whole sort of hierarchy thing came from. Where did that develop from?
No, it's crazy. I mean, I've got friends that are chefs, and chefing is very similar to hairdressing, and it's, you work up the ladder, you become a senior, you're like a god. You know, it doesn't make sense to me.
No,
it doesn't make sense.
So before we lead into wrapping up, I've got one last question for you.
Yeah.
As we jumped on this call, you said, oh, I've just been dropping off the kids. And I thought, oh, I just love that. How do you juggle all the things? Now you're a dad, you've got kids, you've got school, you've got, you know, it's not like a lot of businesses or roles that aren't by time. You know, we have time slots and clients that want to be there at 9. And how do you juggle all the things? You're traveling around the world. What's the key? What's the magic?
I think my wife is the key, to be honest. Like, she's a stormtrooper. Like, she just goes out and gets things done. So she does a lot of my PR stuff behind the scenes as well, and my emails, and like an EA as well. So it's sort of a good thing having that support.
Mm.
But I mean, timing is of the essence, as you know. So, I mean, I don't stop running. I think it's sort of all about trying to get to every place at every time. And making time for your kids is the most important thing. So we have like time out to make sure that we're sort of really connecting. And that's why I do like kid drop-offs in the morning, because it's a great time in the morning. They're sort of waking up. It's fun. And as you know, as hairdressers, we work really late. So we miss that sort of dinner time call or putting the kids to bed. So time is of the essence. And I always say, like, the worst thing I want to do in my life is run out of time. So that's the thing that's like scares me the most. But I just try to sort of help as many people as I can on the way. That's my sort of philosophy. So
nice.
Yeah.
So that's a good segue to say, what is your mantra, or what is the quote that, you know, as a business person and as a busy career person, you know, what keeps you going, what keeps you sane, what keeps you focused?
I had a great client that walked in once and he said to me, look, Brad, in a business, you should walk in every day like it's a new business. So that's been a good thing for me. So I walk in every day and I think, right, I've just started this salon, even though we've been open for 7 years. What would I do as a new business? So that's one thing that I do in the company side. And I even go to the team and go, right, guys, what do you think we should do next? Or what's something you've seen on the market that you quite like? And that's sort of driving force, that side. And the other side is just understand your brand is a big thing, like your personal brand. And don't let anything like walk out the door that you wouldn't think is yours. It's a big thing for me as well. So if it's a bad blow dry, you've let yourself down. If it's a friendship that's not quite right, you've dropped your brand down as well. So it's taking ownership of every single thing you do and do it to your best ability. Like, you're not always going to be on top of your game. You might be sick. You might be, there's lots of things. You might be just tired. But make sure that your best is so high that when, if it's not that good, it's still good. So make sure you've always got that level where you're sitting there and saying, that's fine today. I'm not feeling 100%, but it's still bloody good. And I think that's the thing you sort of should think about.
Nice.
And I mean, we've all been there. I've been on stage and I've had laryngitis and I've had to sort of just push through a 2-hour seminar. And I think it's all right. As long as you know that you've got that and you trust yourself, you'll get through it. It's pretty simple.
Well said. What is a book or a podcast or a resource that you think, or that you've read recently that you think salon owners should engage in?
I've got one. It's Purple Cow. And I think it's just a really good one to sort of understand your market and understand where you're sort of trying to push your brand as well. And I remember when I first opened, I had a magazine that came in and said, hey, Brad, I want you to do a photo shoot for us. Yeah, yeah. And I looked at the magazine and I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And they were like, why not? I said, because it doesn't reflect our brand.
Mm.
And I think Purple Cow is a really good example for that. It's really about understanding where you are in the market. And if you want to be at McDonald's, you can be at McDonald's. If you want to be like a Eurobar, you can be Eurobar. You can sort of choose your market where you want to sit and actually stay there. But the worst thing is if you see yourself flipping backwards and forwards and trying to pick up all the things that aren't your brand, it just cheapens you and your brand as well.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Well said.
Cool. All right.
Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your inspirational words of wisdom. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
And where can people find you and stalk you? Because I know they want to know more about you.
There is Brad Leper Hairstylist on Instagram. That's probably the best one, actually.
Awesome.
So all right.
If go and stalk Brad on Instagram and say hey. Thank you so much.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks. Bye.
So there you have it. Now, thanks for joining me again today. This episode was brought to you by Salon Bot. You know that we're in an era of instant messaging, and if you want to be leading the way and really elevate your brand's experience, then SalonBot not only saves you up to 70% of your time back and forth, but also helps you attract clients like a boss. using modern messenger marketing. Now check it out at www.salonownerscollective.com or come and join us at the Modern Messenger for Salon Owners private Facebook group. Thanks for joining me today, and I really look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.